Twitter's value quadruples. Now, when will it start making a profit?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Today, the home of 140-character messages has a much higher value than it did yesterday. A Silicon Valley venture capital firm is pumping $200 million into Twitter in a deal that values the company at $3.7 billion. Marketplace's Janet Babin is covering this story for us this morning, and she's here with me in New York with more. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So how do investors figure out that it's worth that much?
Well, it's all in the math, percentages, really. You take the number of investors, yep, and you figure out if an investor is willing to pay a specific amount for Twitter, then all those investments combined add up to its valuation. This latest investor here, this VC firm, Kleiner, Perkins, Caulfield & Byers, mm-hmm, this is a legendary company. Back in the 90s, it made early investments in Google and Amazon's good investments, but it initially passed on Twitter. Now, I spoke to Henry Blodgett at businessinsider.com. He says the Kleiner Perkins investment this time in Twitter is a secure bet.
Kleiner Perkins will buy something called preferred stock, which actually protects their money even if the value of the company plummets. So they're in a very different situation than somebody buying stock on the stock market.
Now, Janet, the same question comes up all the time with these tech companies. When is it going to make money? Do we know any more about that when it comes to Twitter today?
Well, not a lot, Jeremy, but it's because Twitter's growing on about the same trajectory as Facebook did a few years before it that investors feel certain that Twitter is going to be able to convert those users into revenue dollars. And it's already got some good ideas from e-commerce pages to ads and search results. It's working on it.
All right. Marketplace's Janet Babin reporting here in New York. Thanks, Janet.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Well, in the next hour, we'll get the latest numbers from the government about the housing market and the job market. Yesterday, the government reported on another big measure of the economy right now, the inflation rate. The Labor Department said core consumer prices rose just 0.1% last month. The Fed's ideal inflation rate is 2% a year. Have you had enough numbers yet? Well, we're going to do a little lightning round on inflation with Marketplace's economics correspondent Chris Farrell now to clear it all up. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Jeremy.
Hey there. So here we go. Why do we care about inflation so much?
So remember, inflation is a change in the overall price level. And the reason why borrowers, lenders, investors, and savers care about inflation is that it means how much will my dollar be worth a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now.
And one of the key measures, Chris, of inflation is the Consumer Price Index. We got that yesterday. What is it and how is it calculated?
So remember, in our economy, prices are always changing. In the latest consumer price number, new car prices were down, airfares were up. So the statisticians at the Bureau of Labor Statistics, they collect all kinds of prices from 87 urban areas around the country, and they make all kinds of adjustments, and they get rents in there too, and they come up with a price index.
And why do economists often look at the consumer price index minus food and energy?
I know. I mean, what else is there to life but food and energy? But what they're trying to do is get a sense of, is Procter & Gamble passing on higher costs onto consumers? They're trying to really get a gauge on what's happening to corporate America when they pass on their prices to consumers.
Okay, last lightning round question here, Chris. The inflation rate has been quite low here in the U.S., but China revealed this week that its inflation rate hit 5% last month. Should we care about that?
Absolutely. China doesn't want a high inflation rate. It's going to fight a high inflation rate, and that means less trade for the U.S.
And, of course, trade is what it's all about in getting us out of this recession. Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell, thanks so much for playing.
Thanks a lot.
And let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed in Europe right now. They were flat today in Asia after news that Japan is a step closer to cutting its 40% corporate tax rate to stimulate its economy. Here in the U.S., the House is expected to vote today on the tax cut compromise that passed the Senate yesterday. The Dow yesterday fell 19 points to close at 11,457.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk. Since 1923, innovative developer of diabetes treatments and delivery devices at novonordisk-us.com. By the Henry Luce Foundation, seeking to increase American understanding of East and Southeast Asia. And by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/publicradio.
Tonight, Larry King hosts the very last episode of his primetime CNN program. Now, most of us will probably remember Larry King for his Suspenders and his interviews with just about everyone under the sun. But as Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports, Larry King will also be remembered for his abilities as a product pitchman.
Before CNN, Larry King was a radio man.
Live from New York City, it's The Larry King Show, a presentation of the Mutual Broadcasting System.
The Larry King Show went national in 1978. Wesley Hyatt is a broadcast historian, and he says whether King was promoting pain relievers or anything else, the broadcaster made a name for himself for his convincing delivery of commercials.
They were so off the cuff that you really couldn't tell if it was taped or if he was going to go ahead and just say it as part of the show itself. And I think that's why a lot of advertisers tried to see if they could get him to pitch their products.
Larry King was part of a generation of personalities who were both host and product spokesmen. And Robert Thompson, television professor at Syracuse University, says that trend is returning.
The program and the advertising have suddenly become one. Now Conan O'Brien does it regularly. If you watch the Jimmy Kimmel show, he pitches any number of products.
And these pitches are pricey. American Express reportedly paid Conan O'Brien $1 million for one of his ads. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
I'll always remember Larry King for pitching garlic, or should I say, garlic. Not sure exactly what it is. I just know Larry likes it. And finally, Facebook is rolling out a new feature. No need anymore to manually tag your friends when you upload your photos to the site. Facebook will offer a tag suggestion feature that uses facial recognition software to figure out which one of your friends are in your pictures. If you want to opt out, you can always just wear your Richard Nixon mask everywhere you go. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
So here are some ideas to improve worker productivity. How about naps at the office or sports television breaks every hour? Sounds crazy, but it works.
What for sure we've seen are the different divisions of the company working together in a way that they never had before.
I'm Kai Rizdal, breaking bad office habits from the top down, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.